Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, continuing on this three-hour edition of the program. 3 hours every Saturday morning now. We are your home from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern for the best horse racing talk on the planet. It's all right here on HRRN. And helping me make that possible is Mike Stidham, fresh off of that huge win in Dubai with Mystic Guide 2 weeks ago. It was a moment he'll never forget, and he is kind enough to spend some time with me here this morning. Mike, appreciate the visit.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, how about that little trip down memory lane, my friend?
Yeah, that was, believe me, I'm still kind of floating on a cloud from that, and it was an amazing trip.
Yeah, tell me about what that experience was like for you.
Well, I mean, it was both mine and Hillary first trip to Dubai, and so there was a lot of new things, even though I had spoken to Steve Asmussen and Scott Blasey about, you know, just giving me some tips before I left. You know, there were just a lot of different things going on over there. You know, the distance walk to the track and back was like a 2 mile walk, which is a big difference from what we're used to over here. You leave the barn 2 hours before the race and go through a lot of different channels of testing and, you know, pre-race testing and different things that, you know, can get a horse agitated. And Mystic Guide was getting a little bit stirred up from all that. So it was, like I say, it was a bit different, and it was an adjustment that we had to make. And, luckily, you know, the horse was able to adapt, and he actually did really well, you know, from all the traveling. He was really thriving over there, you know, just his attitude and his, you know, overall temperament was really good. So it turned out great.
That's interesting to hear you talk about going to a guy like Steve Asmussen, who had the experience of been there, done that, to kind of get some advice before you went, so you'd have a sense of what might work for you and for your program. As you were saying that, I was thinking about, you know, it's similar to, I guess, like the Super Bowl, for example, where you have a quarterback or a running back or any player really that goes to another athlete and says, hey, this is my first time in the big game. What can you tell me? What do I need to be prepared for? It sounds like you took the same approach, Mike.
Without a doubt. You know, like I said, I knew that Steve and especially Scott Blasey had been over there himself, you know, with several horses over the years. And those guys were, you know, invaluable to me as far as, you know, helping and trying to, you know, give me as many tips as they could. And it helped out a lot.
What was the biggest piece of advice that you think helped the most?
Just that both Steve and Scott said to me, be careful, don't overdo it when you get there with the horse, meaning they knew what I didn't know about, you know, like I said, all that walking back and forth from the track and the routine of leaving the barn so early before the race. And, you know, they just kind of cautioned me that you don't want to get over there and do too much with your horse. And I took the advice because on Tuesday before the race, that was the one chance that we had to school the horse in the paddock. And again, that was like a evening 2 hour event that, you know, he got a little bit hot. He got a little bit wound up from it. And the next day I just, you know, he had trained that morning. He had schooled at 6 o'clock at night, and we didn't get done till after 8. And next day I just gave him the morning off. I didn't even train him. And everybody was like, oh, why isn't Mystic Guide training? And they were thinking something was wrong. But I just said, you know what? This is a big difference in routine. And I don't want a flat horse on race night. So we gave him that Wednesday morning off and then went back to the track on Thursday. And it was good advice from Steve and Scott.
You know, Mike, I know that it was special regardless, but considering the circumstances and the passing of Sheikh Hamdan, the brother of Sheikh Mohammed, and, of course, you winning the Dubai World Cup with a Godolphin color bearer and Mystic Guide. Did that kind of make things, did it add another layer to it for you and make it even more special in some respects?
Without a doubt. You know, there was so many things going on. It was the 25th anniversary, you know, the COVID situation, the fact that they were even able to, you know, put the race on. And then 3 days before Sheikh Hamdan passes away, Sheikh Mohammed, you know, went into mourning. You know, winning it was huge. I mean, you know, and I know just from the word that I got was that Sheikh Mohammed was just so delighted, you know, to win the race. So it was definitely a little more special.
Talk about the race itself. As Mystic Guide is coming down the stretch and you finally realize that, okay, we're going to win the Dubai World Cup. What's that moment like for Mike Stidham?
Well, I can tell you this, that, you know, leading up to the race and the post parade with the two loose horses and, you know, seeing my horse getting wound up and, you know, getting a little bit hot, really getting agitated. You know, all I was thinking was, man, we came all this way, and now he's, you know, potentially, you know, going to run his race in the, you know, before the race. And I had a lot of concerns. And then ultimately, when they got behind the gate and they had to unload for the second loose horse, finally, Luis Saez took Mystic Guide off by himself away from the pony and just let him stand. And he, you know, finally he just kind of stood there and he, you know, relaxed. I felt a little bit better. But when he broke, and the big thing that we, Hillary and I and Luis discussed prior to the race was, we've got to break good. We got to get some early position. It's really going to be important that we don't get shuffled back and with a bad break. And once he got into that spot and he's laying third down the backside, you know, that was when I really felt, you know, hey, we can win this thing. And when the announcer said, you know, turning into the stretch, into history, and seeing him, you know, take the lead, it was like a dream. I couldn't believe it was actually happening. So it was amazing. It really was.
Trainer Mike Stidham with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He has saddled 2,144 winners coming into today, and maybe none bigger than that huge win in Dubai in the Dubai World Cup with Mystic Guide 2 weeks ago. Mike, you talked about the experience of being in Dubai and part of that race for the very first time. There's a chance that in 3 weeks you could be part of the Kentucky Derby for the very first time with a horse of your own. Do you let yourself go there yet? Is it too early?
You know, really, with Proxy, we are running today in the Lexington, and our goal is to try to make him a stakes winner, a graded stakes winner, since he's placed and run well in the stakes in fairgrounds, but he's not a stakes winner. So our goal right now is just to try to make Proxy a grade three winner at Keeneland today, and we're not even looking past that race today until we see how he runs, how he comes out of it. And at that point, you know, we're not really focused on trying to make the Derby. We're just, you know, trying to make him a stakes winner. And then we'll discuss, you know, what we do after that, whether we even consider the Derby or maybe look at, you know, if he runs really well, think about maybe the Preakness or, you know, any number of different races that are coming up.
You and I talked before the Louisiana Derby. That was on March 20th. It was on this very same show the morning of that race. I thought Proxy ran a really good race. Not good enough to win, obviously. Hot Rod Charlie got the victory. Proxy was fourth, but he was only beaten 3 3/4 lengths. What was your assessment of that performance, Mike?
You know, I really felt like I needed to see him kind of punch and kick in that last eighth of a mile in that race to feel confident moving on to the Kentucky Derby. And he didn't really give us that. We tried the blinkers. hoping that that was going to give him that added little, oomph at the end. It didn't really do it. He did not run a bad race. As a matter of fact, you know, I used Ragusan sheets, you know, pretty exclusively for a number of years. And on Ragusan, he actually went from 11s to a 9 in the Louisiana Derby. So what looked like maybe a regression watching the race was actually a move forward on Ragusan. So that, you know, that was actually a good for the overall progress of the horse, but it wasn't necessarily what we needed to see for the confidence to go into the Kentucky Derby.
It's interesting that you mentioned the blinkers, because you and I spent a lot of time talking about that decision to add blinkers for the Louisiana Derby. And I remember asking you if, because you said you never really know until they, you know, they perform in the afternoon with the blinkers on. You can see all you right. want in the mornings, but until they do it in the afternoons, you just don't know. And I remember asking you if it could backfire on you and go the other way. Do you feel like mm-hmm. he finished better in the two stakes before the Louisiana Derby without blinkers on than he did in the Louisiana Derby?
Not really. What I really think, and the numbers prove it, is that the Louisiana Derby was just a step forward, just a better race, and yep. you know, and it produced better numbers, you know, than the previous races. So I just think he, you know, caught horses, Hot Rod Charlie, that just, you know, ran better than what he was better than what Proxy was ready to do on that day.
Yeah, well, Proxy going to look to take another step forward in that Lexington Stakes later this afternoon. That is the co-featured event at Keeneland. It is race number 9, 5:30 Eastern time. That's 2:30 on the West Coast. Mile and a 16th on the main track. Could be a off-main track, Mike, if we get some rain, as they're predicting here in the Bluegrass. Any concerns there? Proxy's never raced on a wet racetrack.
Well, that's something that we're all going to find out on, at the same time, including me. I mean, I think I have no reason to think he won't handle it, but until we get out there, you know, we won't know. It's starting to kind of drizzle as we speak right now. I'm at Keeneland, so I think we are going to have a wet track, and like I say, I have no reason to think he won't handle it.
Well, there may be a little bit of give in that turf course for your horse in the next race, the actual featured event of the day, the Grade 1 Coolmore Jenny Wiley. That is Michelin, another Godolphin runner who breaks from the inside post number 1. Luis Saez gets a leg up, looking to recapture some of that Dubai World Cup magic from 2 weeks ago with Luis Saez. And Michelin comes out of that big win in the Grade 2 Hillsboro. Tell me a little bit more about her.
Well, Michelin, you know, she came off of a little bit of a rest after her Queen Elizabeth race here at Keeneland last year. She ran and won the Hillsboro in her comeback race, and I was delighted with the effort because I didn't put a lot into her getting her ready for that. I felt like maybe I was a work or two away from having her, you know, 100% tight for the race. So when she went out there and beat what I thought was a really good field, Grade 2 at Tampa, when she went out and won that race, I was very impressed with the effort. And she's come back and had a couple of really solid works since that. So I think we're coming into this race in as good a condition as we could be.
Well, thanks for correcting me on that, too. Michelin, the proper pronunciation. And, Mike, I knew I was going to guess wrong on that. I went back and watched some of her previous races, and there were announcers that went with Michelin.
Yeah.
And I said, boy, I'm going to take my shot here and see if I get it right. But I appreciate the proper pronunciation as Michelin with your big filly there in the Jenny Wiley.
Yeah. We're anxious to get out there and try to win a Grade 1, whether at Keeneland, it would be a big accomplishment.
Salty race, too. Etoile in there from the barn of Chad Brown. As we know, Chad's always tough in those races. He also has Tama here, who breaks just to the outside of Michelin, and Juliet Foxtrot for Brad Cox. That's a salty race for a six-horse field.
Yeah, I mean, look, anytime you run in a Grade 1 at Keeneland, you know you're going to be up against it. So we expected, you know, a tough group, and we that's what we've got. I think it's a pretty evenly matched group of fillies and mares.
Well, Mike Stidham here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, listen, I know it's a busy morning. You've got work to do, so I'll let you go. Really appreciate the time, and congratulations on the big win in Dubai. All the best later this afternoon.
Well, thank you, and again, I appreciate you having me on.